Now, Father, we ask you to give us some good word. Give us of the goodness of your rich word. Don't give us more than we can stand, but give us just what we need tonight. As you've ministered to us, our Father, through song, and as you've touched us as we've praised you, and now would you minister through your word. Speak to us clearly tonight, Father, concerning the name of the Lord Jesus. What a wonderful and powerful thing it is that you've given us, that wonderful and mighty name, Jesus of Nazareth. We trust you to do it, Father, in his name. Amen. Turn in your Bibles, please, to the 14th chapter of the book of John. Jesus made some promises in the 14th chapter and, well, elsewhere in his Gospels. We're going to look at a couple of them. He made two promises to his disciples, and that belongs to us also. John chapter 14. Now, that's a pretty wonderful promise, isn't it? If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now, this is not some itinerant preacher that said this. This is Jesus Christ of Nazareth, the Son of the living God. It's the same Jesus that said, this one sign only I'll give you, as Jonah was 3 days in the belly of the whale, so shall the Son of Man be 3 days in the belly of the earth. It's the same Jesus that said, I must needs to go to Jerusalem and there to suffer at the hands of the Gentiles and be crucified and dead, but yet on the third day to be raised. It's the same Jesus. It's the same one that said, ye shall ask anything in my name, and I will do it. And in the 16th chapter, he said it a little differently, but the same basic idea. Chapter 16 of the book of John, verse 23 and 4. And this is your prayer covenant and my prayer covenant under the New Testament of Jesus Christ. Jesus said in that day, now he's talking about the day following his resurrection, in the day that we're living in the day beyond the resurrection, in the day when Jesus is living at the right hand of God the Father. And in that day, that's today, ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Ask and ye shall receive. Ask the Father in my name, and he will give it you. Well, I wonder whether that really works. Does that really work, or does that just sound good? Does it really work, or does it make just good for good preaching? Is it something real good, you know, that you can tell people? Or is it something that works? Let's look at the third chapter of the book of Acts. These New Testament believers, these New Testament apostles, they were the first ones that had the opportunity to put the words of Jesus into practice. They were the first ones who had opportunity after the resurrection of Christ to see whether or not he really meant what he said and whether he could really deliver on what he declared. Beginning to read at the first verse of Acts chapter 3. Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. And then Peter said, silver and gold have I none. But such as I have, give I thee. "In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. Now we're told in another part of the scripture that this man was 40 years old on whom this miracle was done. 40 years old, he had never walked a step in his life. And Peter said, "I don't have anything to give you except the name of Jesus Christ. In his name, stand up and walk." And immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And he not only walked, but he leaped and he praised God. Now there were those that were there by that day that thought that Peter and John were miracle workers. They thought surely these men had something really special going for them, some special power. In verse number 11, "As the lame man which was healed held Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, Ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we had made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, hath glorified his son Jesus, whom ye delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go." And verse 16 is the key here. "And his name, through faith in his name, hath made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." Faith in the name of the Lord Jesus. Not faith in what we can see or feel or touch or hear, but faith in the name of Jesus is what caused that man to be made whole. Now, what is so special about the name of Jesus? He's not the first man that was ever named that name. Did you know that? He's not the last. There are many alive in the world today that are named Jesus. In the Old Testament, the first Jesus we see is a man by the name of Joshua, who was the heir to Moses. And he led the people of Israel into the promised land. The name Jesus is the Greek word for Joshua. Joshua is the Hebrew word. The name Jesus and Joshua are the same name. They mean Jehovah is salvation. They mean that God is Savior. They mean that Jehovah is the only salvation. He's the only one. That's what Joshua means. That's what Jesus means. There are men playing professional baseball today by the name of Jesus. Now, they don't call him Jesus. They call him Jesus. Jesus is a name very commonly given to young Spanish and Mexican, Spanish-speaking boys. Jesus. Jesus. Is it the word Jesus that has the power in it? If it was, you could say Jesus Alu. How many of you know Jesus Alou? How many of you ever heard the name? He's a ball player. He's Puerto Rican or Cuban or Spanish-speaking fella. But I've never heard of anybody being healed at the name of Jesus Alou. I might be a real swell fella. I don't know. I've never met him. What is so special about this name? Turn to the book of Hebrews, the first chapter. There's something special about this Jesus, the name of this Jesus. It's not just the word Jesus that gets the result. It's not just speaking the word Jesus that gets the result. It's what you believe about the name of Jesus that causes the result to come. Hebrews chapter 1, beginning to read at the first verse. "God, who in sundry times and in divers manners spoke in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Jesus of Nazareth has inherited the name which is above every other name. God hath given it unto him as his right by inheritance. He is the first begotten, the firstborn from the dead, the Son of Almighty God, fathered by the Holy Ghost, and his inheritance is this wonderful, majestic, powerful, and all-glorious name, Jesus. His name, Jesus, is not like the other Jesuses that you know. He has inherited his name from God Almighty. In the book of Ephesians, in the second chapter, we see the same idea in the ninth verse. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name, or in the Greek, actually, it's the name, which is above every name, that at or in the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Now, I'm going to show you something about the name of this Jesus, the name of this particular Jesus. In the book of Revelation, in the 19th chapter, there's much in this little passage here, but there's just one little tidbit I want you to see. We'll begin to read here at the 11th verse. And I, that is John the Apostle, John the Revelator, and I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but he himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. Now, we could stop right there and minister for a week. But that's not the part I really want you to see. I want you to see on down a little ways. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. Now, we know that this is a picture of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ at the end of time, when he comes to destroy wickedness on the earth and establish his glorious eternal kingdom, which he will do. Verse number 16. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, why is that significant? It's significant because this Jesus of Nazareth, is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is not one among many Jesuses. He is one eternal Son of God. He is one King of all kings. He is one Lord of all lords. There is none other like him. And when you put your faith in this Jesus, by glory and blessed be God, you will have results with your praying. You'll have results with your believing, because this Jesus is able to perform his word in your life. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He is Almighty, Eternal God. And there is none other like him. That's what it means to have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and faith in His name, not in some other Jesus. It's not a five-letter word, you see, that has magic. It's what's in your heart. It's what's in your heart when you pray. It's what's in your mind when you pray. Are you believing that this Jesus really is King of Kings? Are you believing that He is Almighty God? Are you believing that He is the Word of God made carnate? Do you know in your heart that He is able to do what you're asking Him to do? Or are you just trying Him out to see? He's King of Kings, bless God. He's the Lord of Lords. He is able to do what He said He would do. And Peter said, it's not some power or some holiness that I have. He says it's by faith in this name that this man has perfect soundness in the presence of you all. It's by faith in this name. By faith in that name. What kind of faith? Faith that He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. 1 Peter, the third chapter. The 22nd verse. We read the last two words of verse 21 and then verse 22. Jesus Christ, who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, the seat of power. Angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto Him. The Word of God declares that all angels, all authorities, all powers are subject to Him. He is not jockeying for position in heaven. He is not trying to find that place where He's going to be for all eternity. Bless God, He's already found it. He's seated at the right hand of God at the place of power. He already knows who He is. God the Father already knows who He is. And let me tell you this, the devil knows who He is also. Now the question today is, do you know who He is? Do you know who this Jesus is? Do I know who this Jesus is? Is He really King of Kings? Is He really Lord of Lords? Is it profitable to believe in His name? If I put my faith in His name, will I receive what He promised or not? Do I believe that faith in this glorious name will produce in my life what our brother and sister were singing about earlier? They said all in the name of Jesus. Healing, health, deliverance, peace, all those other good things that I don't even remember. What is it that they sang? It's all in the name of Jesus. It's all in the name of Jesus. Why is it all in the name of Jesus? Because He's the King of all kings. He's the Lord of all lords. He is able to do that which He said He would do if you and if I will do what He said we are to do. Now, what did He say we are to do? He said, he that believeth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. This is what we've been studying in Sunday school, isn't it? Romans chapter 10, about verse 11 or 12 in through there somewhere. He that believeth on the name of the Lord shall be saved. There isn't anything short in Jesus. He's got it all. He's got it all. He's got it all. and it's all in His name. Have you ever wondered why the devil likes to get people to use the name of Jesus profanely? Have you ever noticed that people that are profane always have the name of Jesus on their lips? You ever noticed that? Profaning the name of the Lord Jesus. Causing that name to be commonly used. Causing that name to be drugged through the dirt and the mire and the garbage of this world. Causing disrepute and reproach to be brought upon that name. Why? So that nobody would ever think that there was anything of any value in that name. But the Word of God says that everything is in that name. Everything is in that name. All of it's in the name. Salvation is in that name. Wholeness is in that name. Everything that a broken world needs is in that beautiful, glorious, wonderful, lovely, and precious name of Jesus of Nazareth. That's why he's trying to destroy it. That's why many, when they come into the kingdom of God, cannot ever get this down deep on the inside of them because they're so accustomed to hearing that name commonly used in profane and obscene babbling. The Word of God tells us that we need to be careful what we hear, that we're going to have faith in those things that we hear. And having heard that name used profanely so many years, all those, and many having used it themselves, and I was one, profane that glorious name. And that kind of thing does not leave you quickly. There's still some vestiges of that in many people. And it's hard for us to get a hold of the glorious truth, that pure and simple faith in that name of Jesus brings with it all that God's Word said it would. Jesus gave us a very simple promise. He said, whatsoever, now I confess to you that I can't fathom the depth of this. I just can't. But he said, whatsoever, I love those whatsoevers. You know, they're so without limit. He said, whatsoever ye ask the Father in my name, He will give it you. Now, bless God, that's about as simple and as straightforward as you can get. You could preach on it all night and all day, but it comes down to that, doesn't it? Whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it you. There's another verse of Scripture that is impressed upon my heart as I think about this subject of the name of Jesus. And let me just draw your attention to it. And I don't know if the Lord wants to do anything special with it tonight, but it's in the book of Colossians. And it's in the third chapter of Colossians. The 17th verse. These are the words of Paul to the church. That means it's to you and to me. And whatsoever ye do, there's another whatsoever. Whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Something that should characterize the life of every Christian is this verse of Scripture. Whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Now, there's much I could say about that Scripture. But there's really only one thing I want to say about it. That is, if there's something that you cannot do, that you're accustomed to doing, you can't do it in the name of Jesus, then I tell you to stop doing it. The Word of God says, whatever you do, do it in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks unto God and our Father. Jesus said, be ye doers of the Word and not just hearers only. If there's something in your life that you cannot do in the name of Jesus, as you begin to do it, you say, this I do in the name of Jesus. If you can't say that because it sticks in your throat, then stop doing it. If it cannot be done in the name of the Lord Jesus, then it does not become a believer. And you ought not to do it. Now that's about as simple as I know how to put a thing, and it's about as straightforward, I think, as the Word of God could be. And so, if there's anything in your life that you may wonder about, is this becoming a believer? Should I do this as a professor of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? Ask yourself this. Can I do this in the name of Jesus? And if the answer is yes, okay. But if the answer is no, stop it. Immediately. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Now, God has given us His name. He's given us the name of Jesus. He said that if we'll have faith in that name, that we should ask the Father whatsoever we will in that name, and He would give it us. He gave us what is known as a power of attorney to use His name. In frivolous ways? No. No. No, not in frivolous ways. But in order to perform God's will, God's Word in the world around us. The name of Jesus, faith in His name, that's the power promise. That's where it is. It's resident in His name. Now, I told you earlier, as we were praying for others, I said that if there were those of you that were here tonight that desired prayer tonight for whatever need, I was going to give you an opportunity to receive ministry tonight. But I didn't want you to come until we'd shared this word. Because I want you to know that whether I pray for you or anybody else prays for you, there's no power or holiness in me that's adequate to do what needs to be done in your life. It's in the name of the Lord Jesus, and I do know how to use that. And God has given me the right to do that, as He's given you to use the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, I believe that Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I have absolutely no trouble at all believing Him to do beyond exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or think. And when I pray for you, I'm believing God to do what needs done in your life. If I couldn't believe God for that, I wouldn't pray for you. If I couldn't believe God, I'd have someone else pray. I wouldn't do it. And I believe God to meet your needs. I believe that there is power in the name of Jesus. I know that He will perform His word. And I know that if I ask Him for my own needs, that I'm going to receive my needs met. I know that. The thing I don't really know is where your faith is. If you put your faith in the name of the Lord Jesus, He will do for you what He does for me and what He does for any of His children. But He requires you to put your trust and your faith in His name. Jesus did not give us authority over another person. I have no authority over you. I have no authority over your spirit. I have no authority over your will. I cannot do anything in your life against your will. Neither can Jesus. The Scripture says that He went to Nazareth and He could do no mighty works there because they wouldn't believe. And oftentimes we think we're believing and we're not quite believing. And I'll tell you how you can tell when you're not believing. When God's word doesn't work. See, that's right. If God's word doesn't work for you, then you're just not believing it. Now, that may be hard, and some would say, well, where does he get off judging me like that? Jesus was asked that same question, and he said, I didn't come to judge the world, I came to save it. He said, the words that I speak unto thee, they shall judge thee in the last day. It's the word of God, you see, that judges us. It's the word that tells us where we are, whether we're believing or not believing. And I'd rather tell you the truth and tell you the word than to have you hoping on something that won't work for you.